Benji. So I was in Phoenix a few weeks ago. We're sponsoring this Efficient Growth Tour with the folks over at Audience Plus. And we're at the event and I hear people talking about like, oh, the CMO of Paddle's here, the CMO of Paddle's here. And I was like, Paddle, like the company that just spent $200 million acquiring Profitwell? Like that's legit. Like they're doing all this crazy stuff with marketing, like going to space and like just doing insane stuff. I eventually get to meet up with this guy that everybody was kind of talking about, like, oh my God, the CMO of Paddle's here. And end up going to dinner with him and just convinced him to be on the show. So we're actually, we've got the CMO of Paddle on this episode, Andrew Davies. And we were like, hey man, what do you have? Like, is there a post that like has been top of mind for you that's, you know, either really provocative or something that would be interesting to talk about with other B2B marketers? And he brought a fun one. So Andrew, welcome to B2B Growth, man.
Thank you so much. Appreciate being here. I've never had an intro quite like that. So I'll try and live up to the hope.
So the post, Andrew, that you brought is a good one. Benji, do you want to talk us through it?
Yeah, for sure. I got to say though, having James and Andrew on the podcast, I feel like I need to change my name to Peter and then we can just have a Bible podcast. We all got these Bible names going on. Anyway, so when I read through what Andrew sent over, I was not shocked because the use cases are starting to pop up everywhere for ChatGPT and the ways that it can be useful. But Spencer Scott posted this and it's a thread. So I'll read through the use case, but he starts by saying, we are effed. There, I said it. I will say he didn't say effed, but we're going to keep it PG-13 on the pod. He says, I just saw the most impressive display of AI that I've ever seen in my life. And this is what he outlined. So he has a friend in software development over in Pakistan, and he wants more customers, obviously, right? So historically, the best way that this guy has acquired customers is Shopify owners that build custom apps. And what he did is he pulled a list of 100,000 Shopify sites. So their names, their emails, their website, metadata. And normally, we've probably, even if you don't have a Shopify store, you've been on the receiving end of a half-baked, crappy email, 0.1% reply rate, right? Instead of doing that, what this guy does is he builds a tool. What the tool does is it takes data from each Shopify store, then trains GPT-4 on what the site does, on what it sells, and has GPT-4 come up with an entire idea for an app so it can generate more revenue for the store. Then it pitches that app via a cold email. And he gives a bunch of examples where people actually replied to this. And it's essentially throwing out ideas that he didn't even really make. Like he's seeing the email. He's like, oh, that's what GPT-4 suggested. Okay, well, that's a pretty good idea. Now, like, keep the conversation.
He doesn't even know what the ideas are until the business owners reply to the email. And they're like, oh my gosh, this is actually a really good idea. I'd love to talk more. So he has to like scroll back through the email to be like, okay, what was the idea?
Yes.
He doesn't even know what it is.
The first email he gets was GPT-4 pitching a bath bomb company, the idea of an app that allows users to build their own bath bombs on the site. So that's in and of itself amazing. But when the owner responds like, I love the idea, not sure how it would scale in manufacturing, kind of has the normal objections you might have to a first cold email. GPT-4 responds to that. I understand that you might have some concerns when it comes to manufacturing, but our app could look at the inventory you have in stock and only allow customers to build products you already have.
His gift along with this.
Andrew, I mean, this is an incredible use case. Initial thoughts, and even just as you were reading through it, I mean, what was your take?
I loved it. I sent it to a bunch of people on my team. They had very different reactions. Some of them, it scared the life out of them. Some of them, it excited them and they wanted to start building. We're seeing generative AI bring new applications of, you know, to every function within my teams. Every single function has got a way they can use these tools. And it is scary, right? So, you know, using this as an example, I sat down and had a good half an hour deep dive with our head of BDR, who runs all of our BDR teams globally, saying, okay, let's look through this lens. What does this mean for the future of our BDR teams? Because let's be honest, I know for myself, and I know marketing leaders across the industry are looking at what ChatGPT does in pitching their own product. And most people are saying that it is doing a better job than even an early stage junior BDR or salesperson on their team, right? And that's absolutely no critique of the people on our teams. They're well-trained, they're onboarded well, and they've got loads of other tools in their armory other than that couple of paragraphs that they're churning out. But what we've got here is a tool that's trained on the entire corpus of the world's knowledge that was available to it at the time. And we've just got to recognize that some of these updates that we're seeing in apps that are being built are mind-blowing. So first thing for me is ChatGPT is now the baseline for your content. It's the baseline for your outbound. There's no way that any human in any marketing function should be doing worse than this, because it just creates that new floor that you shouldn't go below. The second thing is, like, outbounds just got way more difficult, right? Like, suddenly everybody can be way more creative. The puns can flow. The way you can tie this back to someone, which college they went to, which sports team they support. Suddenly those things become super easy. And I think that's really interesting for us to consider the implications of. And then finally, like, in this world of the more with less, certainly there's lots of people looking through that end of the telescope. Suddenly there's more we can do with much less resources.
Wow. Talk me through. The personalization part is interesting with outbound, because the bar was pretty low and a lot of times the personalization is really crappy. When the bar gets raised, I mean, one of the ways that I'm seeing personalization happen is the use of video can become really helpful. That at least puts a face to it and makes it more human, even if you're getting some of those, the two paragraphs, right, as you mentioned, from a ChatGPT as the floor. But what are other ways that you think potentially this can help raise the bar overall, or what's some of the creative ways you're thinking about?
So firstly, on the construction of those few sentences that go through in outbound, I don't even think we have to do anything about that in most of our marketing teams. Although I think it's interesting, it's going to be built into outreach. It's going to be built into whatever tool your team are using. It already pretty much is in a bunch of them, in plugins, et cetera, but it's going to be there as standard. So we don't even need to think about that piece of it. It's going to be pulling data from your Salesforce records. It's going to be enabling you to reconstitute that, to merge information you know about the person into the pitch, and that's going to happen. The bits that I think are interesting here, and I'll start quickly by saying, the bits I think are interesting are not about volume. Like, this for me is not about the fact we can just hit more volume. We can put more emails out there. We can put more on social. For me, if it just is reduced to that, then the world gets poorer, not richer. For me, this is interesting when it comes down to research. Can it go away and understand and reconstitute knowledge that's out there in a way that's useful for this person to reach into a new industry, a new sector, into a new person's background, into a new product proposition? So research. Secondly, we see with this example from Spencer, creativity, new ideas, new ways of looking at the same challenge that could be put into that sales conversation. Thirdly, I think there's definitely a whole bunch of workflow that will get automated. You know, things we won't have to update manually in systems, because, you know, the summarization capability and the named entity extraction capability of these models is really interesting. So we don't have to go manually update things. And then finally, I think the analysis and measurement piece is really interesting. You know, I know certainly within our business, we're already using this to summarize large pools of content that are coming in via some of our, you know, forms, et cetera, and play back to us on a regular basis the themes that are developing. So those are the four ways that I think it really is interesting, aside from the volume piece, which is the easy place to go.
You're already starting to get, I saw that you had a post from a few weeks ago, Andrew, you're starting to get people coming inbound, and with you guys doing self-reported attribution, asking them how they heard about you. You've had some people say, like, hey, we actually heard about you on ChatGPT. So was there anything you guys are doing to show up as a result for ChatGPT, or is this just kind of happening?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for now, it's absolutely just happening, especially with the models that post was based on. They're, you know, valid up to 2021, right? And so this was content that we published a couple of years ago that's now being picked up.
Yeah.
We've seen it now multiple more times since I put that post up. It comes through, you know, every week or so, there'll be another person in our self-attributed field saying that they heard about us through ChatGPT. And I put that post up and it completely blew up. And what was fascinating was people from all different types of sectors reporting the same thing around the same time showing up in their logs. A few weeks before us, a whole bunch in the few weeks or month after us. This is something that people are seeing across the board. And of course, you know, there will clearly be a marketing implication here for how we write content to be picked up well by these tools. At the moment, I think it's just as simple as doing what we've always done, right? Which is trying to understand the customer, make sure we really deeply understand what their problem is that we're trying to serve and solve, and write in a way that's helpful. And that's going to get picked up. But we're seeing a whole bunch of use cases across our teams where people are starting to play with these tools. And just seeing it come up in our attribution is one of the ways we're seeing the impact come back.
We haven't necessarily seen it in attribution, but I know for B2B growth, when you search on ChatGPT, like we're one of the top B2B podcasts. Mm-hmm. When you look up, you know, top agencies for podcasting, Sweetfish will pop up. And again, it's kind of like at this point, it's up to the algorithm gods and the sites that they're scraping and all of that. Mm-hmm. But there is the future marketing implications of chat as a way. Hey, what's the best? You're just talking into your phone or you're just quickly typing in and you're no longer Google searching and you got rid of all the time everyone's put into this SEO way of doing things. Mm-hmm. How those things are picked and what it serves you up.
Yep.
I'm fascinated to see the future there. I want to broaden it back out, Andrew, and just ask for the paddle marketing team, mm-hmm. what are the use cases right now? You've touched on a couple of them, but how are you seeing AI really start to impact your work and the things that you're doing?
So I'm encouraging everyone on my team to go and play with these tools and see what they can come back with. So I put a call out recently just to start hearing what they were doing. Because often, you know, I just don't know in the day job what the actual application is that they might be doing. I do call some of my team out when I see long form prose in Slack messages as to whether it's come from ChatGPT or themselves. And I get it right probably 50, 60% of the time. but in terms of other applications, you know, simple things like, you know, I did a promo video a couple of weeks ago for one of our new webinars. And our video team, Dan and the team there, I got the date wrong. And instead of having to come back to me and re-record, they just fixed it, mimicking my voice in 11 laps. Never had to do a re-record, job done, out the door.
That's awesome.
We've played around a whole bunch with Adobe AI, Notion AI, et cetera, to take episodes of podcasts, I'm sure like you're doing, making sure we've got field guides and blog posts that are created off the back of those. One of our staff engineers in our marketing team wrote a web scraper to bring a whole bunch of the Profit While Recur content onto our soon-to-be-launched Paddle Studio site. And that was a bit of programming he had to do that he got a bunch of assistance from ChatGPT to do very, very quickly. I mean, you know, a whole bunch of other things we can dive into, including one thing that I think is, it's a trend, not a single application, which is allowing non-technical marketers to now write Python scripts and write code and build on top of the toolkits in front of them because they're able to use natural language into that chat interface.
That's a huge one.
We just did an episode, we just recorded it earlier this morning, Andrew, talking about ChatSpot and how Dharmesh, did you see that he just bought chat.com for eight figures?
Yeah.
So we did an episode about that. And so we were looking at ChatSpot AI, and I saw one of the posts that you had talking about, you know, you have someone from your team, you know, that's connected ChatSpot with your HubSpot instance, and it's asking questions like, please find all the contacts living in the US and send them as a CSV to me. And so you love seeing technology like HubSpot really embracing this stuff, not seeing it as not trying to protect their own thing, but instead embracing this and really meshing with it.
Totally. There is a danger here as well, right? In that any questions like that currently, because I'm just not in the weeds of our HubSpot instance all day, every day, I'd be asking Rebecca, who owns our HubSpot instance, to go and work that out for me. Now, she can go and do it herself, and she can use, as I think that example, she can use ChatSpot to go and do that faster for herself. I think there's a really interesting thing when suddenly a bunch of people in my position start using that conversational interface directly into the data layer without a full understanding of how it's structured, what is fully true, you know, what has been correctly assimilated and what hasn't. And so So I think the danger will be in a few months' time when there's a whole bunch of CMOs across the US and UK who are typing in things like, you know, why didn't we hit our target? Or, you know, why is this line going up and not down? Or, you know, what are my five friends in Phoenix for my trip next week? Some of those results would be good, but there's a whole bunch of context and troubleshooting that I think we're going to be relying on our teams for. And I definitely see a bit of a danger in that the altitude difference sometimes between those queries and the actual data set.
Man, Andrew, this has been a super fun conversation. I want to close out this episode with you, where we're trying to push a lot of our listeners over to YouTube. We're putting out a lot of content on B2B growth on YouTube now. And because of that, we're trying to get our friends of B2B growth to tell us, like, what are some of your favorite YouTube channels? You mentioned one to us right before we started. Tell our listeners about the YouTube channel that you've been loving lately.
So I'm an extremely average golfer, and I've really enjoyed going over to the Random Golf Club YouTube channel, and they have these series called Breaking. So Breaking Pinehurst, Breaking Sawgrass. They go to a really famous golf course and take an average golfer, a reasonably good golfer, and a very mediocre golfer, different skill levels, and they do some fantastic footage following them around the 18 holes and all the stuff that goes wrong and as the friendships build. And it's shot superbly in beautiful locations, but with people who play golf only a little bit better than me. So that's definitely worth a watch.
I love it. So it's Random Golf Club. I think the at handle here is Random Golf Club Films. They've got 256,000 subscribers. If you are into golf even a little bit, I'm scrolling through the page. I don't golf outside of Top Golf. So that's about my affinity toward the sport ends at Top Golf. But this looks like an incredible channel. While you're over there, type in B2B Growth Show, B2B Growth Podcast, something like that. You'll see our logo pop up. Subscribe to us on YouTube. We'd love to see you over there. We're starting to put out a lot of shorts content, as well as, you know, taking our episodes and putting it on there. So if you want to see James, Benji, and Andrew, or if you want to see our beautiful faces, you can head over to YouTube and see that there. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us today, man. I'm looking forward to doing another one of these with you.
Real pleasure. Thanks, guys.